there, people. It's your boy Wale, and once again, we are reporting live from Bed-Stuy, and I'm your host as the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. Shout out to all the listeners out there taking their time out just to listen to the podcast. Today's episode, I will be sharing the waves with my boy Slizzy Sosa. We'll be combining our efforts to talk about the state of the current New York Knicks along with the Brooklyn Nets. We all know that Brooklyn is definitely representing out there a lot better than the Knicks. We all know that the Knicks, if you're a fan of the Knicks, you should just feel horrible. But, you know, he still wants to state his case. So we'll be discussing free agency. We'll be discussing the rosters. And we'll be also discussing on why, you know, we ended up being fans of both respective franchises in the first place. You know, you guys stay tuned. This should be a very fun episode and some clear, humorous banter. So you guys stay tuned and hope you guys enjoy the episode. Yeah.
Yo, well, what's up, man? How you been, brother?
Yo, what's good, Sliz? How you?
Yo, I'm good, man. I appreciate that you took the time out your day so we could get this little thing together, get this started.
Of course, man. Absolutely. It's my pleasure. What's going on?
I'm good, man. Today, the first ever... I'ma just call it the state of the New York.
Like, all right.
That's how I'm calling it down. All
right.
The state of the New York. Till we get, we gonna find some new, probably weeks from now when we get in tune, we could go for that from now. But we gonna start it off with, I think we should start it off with how we became fans.
Okay.
Of the New York Knicks. In the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
But I want you to start off first because I'm very interested in that.
Alright, well.
Gotta start off with that.
Alright, man. So basically I became a Brooklyn Nets fan as soon as the New Jersey franchise decided to take bring it back to Brooklyn, you know. So because as you know before, they were the New York Knicks before. And, you know, with Julius Erving and everything when they were in the ABA, it's the same franchise. And then it became the New Jersey Nets. But as you know, at 2012, you know, they officially decided to bring it to Brooklyn. And
quick question.
Okay.
Do you hate the Lakers as much as I do?
No, I don't hate the Lakers, man. I can't hate the Lakers.
In 2000, I know they swept y'all. I think it's 2002, I believe.
Okay, yeah, they sure did. With Kobe and Kobe and Shaq when they were like at the height of their superpowers. But I personally can't hate the Lakers because I've been a LeBron fan ever since. You know, I'm personally a LeBron James fan, and we know he's kind of struggling right now with his, you know. Yeah, the fact that he's not going to be in the playoffs this year, I think, since about 2005, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's all right, man. LeBron, my man, too, man. It's all right. Thank you, brother.
But yeah, basically, since the franchise came to Brooklyn in 2012, I've been a fan. You know, the Knicks have been the Knicks like forever. MSG, you know, since, you know, Walt Frazier was doing his thing, winning championships. The fact that Manhattan and all these other boroughs had to rep New York. When Brooklyn got their own franchise, I had the support, you know, regardless. Even though it used to be New Jersey, they came to Brooklyn, and I've been repping ever since. I'm a Brooklyn Knight, born and raised in Crown Heights. I currently live in Bed-Stuy. I work in Bed-Stuy as well, so I have to rep BK all day. That's just what it is.
Yo, yeah, man. That's everything. Yeah. Me, I can't even lie to you, brother. I became a Knicks fan. Last year, Porzingis was healthy.
Okay.
You know, Porzingis go down. And, you know, my whole since last year, January, I was telling people, you know what? I need the new coach to be David Fizdale. I said, first.
Oh, word? You did say that.
Yeah, Fizdale. That was my first hire. Because it was over for him in Memphis. Mm-hmm. Memphis already camped him for the whole season. We still had Jeff Hornacek.
Word.
He the hell he was doing. Phil, like, it was just old, like, oh, man, Phil Jackson. But... You know, for the past 2 years, I know a lot of Knicks history, you know, 1973, our last year.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Melo, it's been tough, man.
Melo.
Ownership. You know, I wanted Fizdale as my first coach hire. I wanted Kevin Knox, bad pick, too. So they got both. We got Scott Perry. I like what he's doing. I just like the franchise. You know, you can't get mad at a rebuilding franchise.
Absolutely.
You know, man, Knicks for life, man. I started this podcast last year, actually. He put the idea in my head. You know, you talk a lot about the Knicks, so you might as well start your own podcast. That made right. That's what made me hit you up and say, you know what? I know somebody I know loved the program. So I gotta see if I could get somebody to collaborate so we could get something together. But here we are.
Yes, we are.
So, you know, that's a little bit of it, though. You know, I gotta go. But let's get into the rosters, you know.
Okay.
I wanna know what you like about the roster, what you don't like about the roster, and then free agency, who would you like to be added to the roster?
Well, first of all, you know, the current Brooklyn roster, for those that don't know, even though we're making a playoff push, I believe we're currently seventh in the West. We're seventh in the East, pardon me. And this is one of the first times we've been in playoff contention since, Darren Williams and Joe Johnson, you know, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, since they were all still playing on the same team, you know. But right now, obviously, we have none of those guys there right now. Right now, we got
number one, I'm going to start with D'Angelo Russell, D'Lo, who's taking his career to another level. You know, the Lakers, you talk about the Lakers being regretful of letting one go. D'Lo was definitely the one that they let go, you know.
Yeah, that was a bad trade.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, a lot had happened in the Lakers franchise as far as him snitching with Nick Young and everything like that. He was the number two overall pick, you know, so he was projected to do a lot, you know, more things than he had been currently doing in L.A.
You know what I like about D'Angelo? He got a lot of, like, his pace of the game, the game is at his own pace. I like D'Angelo. He got a lot of control in his game.
I'm telling you, man. Like he was voted an all-star. Brooklyn ain't have an all-star since probably Joe Johnson. When the last time? I think Joe Johnson is playing in the Big Three league right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The fact that we got an all-star, that Brooklyn, you know, finally got an all-star, that's a plus. And I don't know if you've seen that game. I believe it was Tuesday, where they came back on Sacramento. They came back. That was the biggest comeback victory in Brooklyn history. Yeah. D'Angelo had 44. He had a career high with, I think, about 12 assists, man. I mean, come on, man. He's just making his case for most improved player of the year. You know, not even just being an all-star, you know. So, D'Angelo, I have to start with him. You know, we love him on our roster. Number two, you got your guy, Joe Harris. If you don't know who Joe Harris is, people out there, this is a guy that beat Stephen Curry in a three-point contest. You feel what I'm saying? Anybody that beats the best shooter alive in a three-point contest, you know, we have to make sure that he was a part of our roster. I was watching the All-Star three-point contest that day, and he set off the tone. I believe he was the very first contestant to start off the competition. And he hit like 25 out of 30, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He set the tone.
Calm shooter.
You feel what I'm saying? And he's been doing that since, you know, quietly and calmly, as soon as the beginning of the season hit, you know, nobody really knew his name until that All-Star game when he beat Stephen Curry, three-time champion, Stephen Curry, the best shooter alive, DB him in a head-to-head competition, shooting threes. So the fact that he's a part of Brooklyn, you know, that's definitely a plus with us. So that's another guy on our roster. Number three is, Caris LeVert. A lot of people don't know when Caris LeVert, before he got injured during the season, he was playing like, he was having career highs and a whole bunch of numbers. He was doing his
thing. He's a good player. Absolutely, man.
So he was, and unfortunately he got hurt, but he's currently back right now, fitting himself right back into a prime position while, Brooklyn makes a playoff push. Some people was arguing before he got hurt that he was actually the best player that Brooklyn had. This is before D'Angelo started completely breaking out.
He was. That time he was. He's playing like the best player. When he got hurt, D'Angelo just took over.
Absolutely, man.
He's a good point guard, man.
I think
I would give D'Angelo 5 years, $100 million.
I mean, hey, he's playing like it. He's playing like he's trying to get that contract. Spencer Dinwiddie got that contract. That's a likely he's a sixth man of the year candidate. That 3 year, $34 million extension, that's a guy coming off the bench. It's just instant offense. It's probably averaging about at least 15, 16 points straight off the bench. It was an excellent hire. And with those four guys that I mentioned, that's the young core. And you got the savvy veterans on the squad like Alan Crabb, prolific 3-point shooter. You got Jared Dudley, who's been a journeyman in the NBA for some time. Ed Davis, who actually, he's been on Portland. He's a great rebounder. And with that mixture of young guys, young talent, and the veteran presence, it's produced the Brooklyn Nets to just overachieve this season, man. Nobody thought that they was going to have a winning record, let alone be eligible to be trying to make the playoffs. And like I said, that game that they had against Sacramento, when it came down from at least 25, if I'm not mistaken, that's the biggest comeback in Brooklyn history with D'Lo leading the charge, man. So, I feel confident that this playoff push that Brooklyn is trying to work on, they're going to be successful. So it's all about, Brooklyn Nets, in the playoffs 2019, something that the Knicks can't say, unfortunately,
Nah, but I mean, you could get out of us for now. we got a nice little young core. I actually like this young core.
Okay.
I'm gonna start off with Kevin Knox.
Okay.
19 years old, mm-hmm. Kentucky player. I wanted him because what I noticed in college, he still didn't know how to play.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So since he still didn't know how to play, mm-hmm. and he still had that little floater, he still got dribble moves, handle moves, prototypical player for the 2019 NBA.
Not
here. He averaged 12.3 points per game. Mm-hmm. 19. Remember, Giannis only averaged, 6.9 points per game?
Okay.
Paul George, 7.8 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi, 7.9. So he's already a Redditor ahead of me. Knox only like 143 rookies since 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So average 12 points and 4 rebounds per game. Mm-hmm. So it's some good stats there.
Okay.
One of the rookies to ever get 25 and 15 rebounds per game.
Wow.
Of a rookie, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a couple guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Next rookie that I could say, Lonzo Trier.
Okay.
He averaged 11.
He was excellent, man. I had him on my fantasy team. He was dogging for the early part of the season.
Yo, ISO was. But he just cried too much for calls. Like, he need to understand. He can stop crying. But I could see him future sixth man of the year. Once he learned how to play a little more, because he do got tunnel vision sometimes.
Okay.
He shoots 45% from the field, 41% from three.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Great percentage.
Uh-huh.
But he's 22 years old, rookie. We got Damian Dotson.
Mm-hmm.
10 points a game, 4 rebounds. He's been killing lately, too. A lot of 20-point games from Damian Dotson, shooting guard, small forward. Mm-hmm. I like him role playing. We got him next year for like $1.6 million. Mm-hmm. So he only, we need great role players like that. Let's say if we do sign Kevin Durant, or Kevin Durant picks the Nets, like you gotta have young players on cheap contracts. That Damian Dotson is really a good player. Mm-hmm. I say Dennis Smith Jr. He averaged 12 points. I like Dennis Smith Jr. I don't like Dennis Smith Jr. He's kind of like an upgrade for Moutier. Emmanuel Moutier is terrible. Moutier, since he come back from injury, the Knicks has allowed 110 more points per game. He's allowed 110. He's terrible on both sides of the ball, but I understand we tanking, so I'm not going to get that agitated at a young 22-year-old, but, you know. You got Luke Kornet. You got a couple guys who on cheap contracts. Noah Vonleh, he's hurt right now. Frank Nicolino, I didn't even get to mention him, but he's hurt right now. Hopefully he comes back Friday, because I need to see some offense. But, you know, you got to build the system. And one thing that people fail to realize the Nets did, like, this is not the first year the Nets had that call. This is second, third year when guys played. When guys know how to play together, it's not like they just blossom. The Nuggets, you just don't young and just blossom. You got to learn how to play together. So I'm kind of envious of that, but we in the first year of our rebuild, so, well, not first, but five. But yeah, this management. But it's looking good, though. It's looking good, though.
A lot of what y'all trying to do is based on next season, right? Just talk about free agency. I mean, a lot of people might as well say that Zion is already a Nick, but we have to go through the process, man. It's the worst three teams. The worst three teams with the worst three records have the best chance. They have the most of a chance of trying to get that number one pick, but yeah, it's not locked in. It's only a 14% chance, man.
14% chance, brother. And it's crazy when you go on Tankathon and you click Quick Simulator, but it already takes 10 times before it gets to the Knicks.
Oh, man. You know how the Knicks look, though.
I've just seen the Pelicans. What will piss me off the most is if the Mavericks get the number one pick. But I ain't going.
Oh, man. You know what they got over there. You know they done took your prized possession, so I definitely understand that.
It would be a bomb fight. But it would definitely be a bonfire. But definitely free agency is gonna be definitely something to tell this year. Who's your top five free agents?
I mean, come on, number one, you know who number one is. It's got to be Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Durant is one of the best players, honestly, already in the NBA. He's one of the best shooters. He's a complete, freak of nature. You know, a lot of people might talk about how sensitive he is and everything and how he has an attitude. It don't matter, man. When it comes to basketball, this guy's the last guy to go at LeBron James head-to-head in the last two finals and beat him. You understand what I'm saying? LeBron James, my favorite player, by the way. He's a once-in-a-generation type player. And, you know, he's been in the finals 8 straight times, correct? These last 2 times, Kevin Durant has not just, competed against him, he's completely beat him. People will argue saying how Golden State has the better team, and they do. But it doesn't mean that Kevin Durant hasn't showed up, man. He's a 50-40. You feel me? He's a 50-40-90 winner. Two-time finals MVP, one-time regular season MVP, 4-time scoring champion. If Brooklyn can lock down the Durantula, you know what I'm saying? Then I don't care who's trying to come up against us, man. We are taking, some hardware home. We're not just looking to get to the playoffs. We'd be looking to get far in the playoffs and, hopefully bring a championship back to Brooklyn. You feel me? But number one, it would definitely be Kevin Durant. Number two, I would say Klay Thompson, man. Klay Thompson is probably one of the most underappreciated players in the league still.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson is the definition. He's the definition of a 3D guy. You know what I'm saying? You know, Steph Curry is the best shooter alive, but you cannot talk about, you know, the top five best shooters ever. And I mentioned Klay Thompson. Also, defensively, he's going to lock down. He's most likely going to lock down your best perimeter player, and he's as tough as bones. I think people are forgetting 2016 Western Conference Finals. You know, even though Golden State lost that finals to Cleveland in 2016, they were down 3-1 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, against Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. They were down 3-1. One of those games, yeah, I'm telling you, man, game six was at OKC, and he had one of the best playoff games in NBA history, man. Like, he hit, like, I believe he had 11 or 12 threes in OKC with a young, vibrant, you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I believe he's the one that saved the Warriors season. Because remember, that was the year that they won 73-9. They had the best record in NBA history, you know. And they, like I said, they were down to OKC 3-1. And Klay Thompson, I don't care what nobody say, Klay Thompson was the one that saved their season, you know, up until LeBron James beat them in the finals, you know. But Klay Thompson would be an excellent addition to Brooklyn. Everybody, every team needs a 3-and-D guy, and Klay Thompson is the epitome of the 3-and-D. So number one would be Kevin Durant. Number two would be Klay Thompson. I would say, honestly, DeMarcus Cousins would probably have to be number three. You know, if you follow in Golden State again, you see DeMarcus Cousins, he came back from his Achilles tear injury. And I've seen a couple of games watching Golden State where he's been slowly coming back into form. You know what I'm saying? He's a big guy. And they talk about injuries like that to big guys, and they usually don't make them the same. But, I mean, I've seen numerous games with DeMarcus Cousins in Golden State, at, you know, getting 20 points.
Question.
Okay.
What position would he play? Were you playing power forward next to Jared Allen?
Nah, not even. I'd sign him in. I'd probably make him the center, honestly. Jared Allen, he's another guy, young kid on the roster who's doing things for Brooklyn. Very energetic player, you know, hard rebounder. You know, plays defense. Everybody knows him as the guy that swatted LeBron, you know, early in this season with his juke fro and everything. You know, that's another reason how Brooklyn got on the map, man. I think I've seen that picture a whole lot of times. I think they had that on the Barclays Center, like that frame. Jared Allen swatting LeBron James is probably like the highlight of his career. But DeMarcus Cousins, he's not just any other, you know, I wouldn't play him alongside Jared Allen. I'd start DeMarcus Cousins and then just go from there. You feel what I'm saying? He's a facilitator, you know, excellent IQ. The way that he can, you know, take bigger dudes off the dribble with his, you know, handle. He can shoot from the outside. You know, why not pair him with D'Angelo Russell and have all the shooters around him, make him, you know, one of the cornerstones of your franchise? Jared Allen is good, but I get DeMarcus Cousins and then see what we can do later. See what Kenny Atkinson can cook up later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely. So number one, Kevin Durant. Number two, Klay Thompson. Three, DeMarcus Cousins. Number four, I would say Jimmy Butler. He's another, you know, 3-and-D guy. You know what I'm saying? He might be a little wacko. You see what happened to Minnesota earlier this season. He done been on a couple teams, you know, throwing fits with the coaches and everything. He's a little weirdo, but you see how he's thriving now in Philly, you know, in his role. Like I said, he's a guy that can take dudes off the dribble, create his own shot. You know, when he was Chicago, he hung his head on the defense as well, too. So, like I said, another 3-and-D guy that can definitely help Brooklyn out as we get on the rise. So, I'm going to preview one more time. Kevin Durant, number one. Klay Thompson, number two. DeMarcus Cousins, number three. Jimmy Butler, number four. And the last guy I would pick, you know, he's pretty low on this list. A lot of guys would probably have him higher, but number five would have to be, you know, Kawhi Leonard. The reason why I pick Kawhi Leonard is his play speaks for itself. Another, you know, arguably one of the top five best players in the league, definitely top 10. He's another guy that's a lockdown defender. You know, he's going to lock down your best perimeter player. And if he was to come to Brooklyn, he would definitely be an asset for obvious reasons with his skill set. But I picked him as number five because he's just a weird dude, man. Like, I don't know. If you also been watching Santa, he left San Antonio, you know, based on certain situations with Greg Popovich. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like, he should have, the Spurs are thriving right now, if you see them right now. They just beat Golden State, I believe, you know, for their ninth win. So, his skill set is amazing, but he's just a weird dude. And we don't even know if he's going to stay in Toronto. Toronto's been doing excellent since he's been over there as well. So that's why I said he'd definitely be an asset to Brooklyn. But he's just weird, bro. You see, he's just a weird guy. So I'm not sure. But those are definitely the top five agents I would choose. Number one, KD. Number two, Clay. Number three, DeMarcus. Number four, Jimmy. And number five, I round it out with the Claw, you know, Kawhi Leonard.
The Kevin Durant. We both number one, Kevin Durant. I ain't gonna really get into deep with that. He'll just fit with the roster. I like him with Kevin Knox. I like him with the young guards. I just like him, period. He's not like LeBron. I love LeBron too, my favorite player. LeBron is ball dominant. Kevin Durant is more of a seamless fit. Ball player on the ball. So that's the reason why I want Kevin Durant. Number two, I want Kawhi Leonard. Because he's quiet. He's going to shut down the media. They ask him something ridiculous. I only want to talk basketball. And Kawhi, he's a hard worker. NBA champion, youngest finalist.
Definitely.
So, defensive player of the year. So, he would definitely help you. I think he could play three positions, shooting guard, forward, power forward. He's a great player, man. I definitely want Kawhi. Third, I want Clay. One of the best shooters alive.
Absolutely.
This guy, his defense is amazing. I didn't even think he would become this kind of defensive player, but he definitely plays a lot of defense. He deserves to be a forward defensive player. I don't know, first team, second team, I don't know, but he definitely deserves it because he definitely covered Steph Curry a lot. great seamless fit. Not going to complain too much, not going to lie. Next, I will say, this is pretty low, but I would say I want Patrick Beverley. Only if we get a superstar. If we get a superstar, I would say Patrick Beverley.
Wow.
I want Patrick Beverley. I want defensive minded guy. Tough nose. Nobody going to punk him. If you get a guy like Kevin Durant, you get a guy like Patrick Beverley. Nobody going to punk them guys. You know, you got the young guys in the locker room. You want guys like that who going to run through a wall for you. And last but not least, this one was hard for me too, but I say Kyrie. He's my last pick. I love Kyrie, but he's ball dominant, he's small, he's going to get exploited. I was watching the game the other day. Jimmy fish right on him, backed him down, shot the J, and it was like, every time, I don't know what's going on in Boston. I mean, maybe those guys in Boston, they won without him, so they feel like they don't really need him no more.
I think that's the case, man. I mean, Kyrie's exceptional, but, you know, he's kind of like his own whirlwind. You know what I'm saying? Like, he says certain things and does certain things where guys are just taking it back, like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? But he's having an exceptional season. You know, I didn't choose Kyrie because we already got an all-star point guard that's doing this thing right now. So, you know, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take anybody that's playing D'Angelo Russell right now. No way, no how. You know, if you've seen it, he said he's built for this. You know what I'm saying? The last game versus Sacramento, that was the nail in the coffin, letting him know he's built, you know, to take Brooklyn, you know, far and beyond, you know, what we were initially thinking when we first even acquired him. So, Kyrie's excellent, NBA champion, prolific scorer, one of the best, you know, finishers in the NBA. Probably has the best handle in the NBA. But you know, we're good on Kyrie right now until further notice. You feel me?
Yeah. I want to know, how long did it take for the Brooklyn Nets to start installing a real system?
I mean, talk to me. What you mean?
Because, you know, we have Fizdale, right?
Of course.
So you have the same Kenny Atkinson?
Yes. Yep, Kenny Atkinson. It's a coach.
We have been coach for the past 3 years. So I know your coach, he didn't come in and just implement his system. He didn't just start it all. Mm-hmm. So at what point did you start seeing them turn it around, like as far as basketball-wise? Like, oh, they moving off the ball. Oh, they doing off-ball screens. You know things of that nature.
I mean, for in order to have a good team, you gotta have a roster that's completely bought into the system. You know, Kenny Atkinson. You know, he's been there for a little bit, but you need talent in order to run your system. It don't matter if you have the, you know, Greg, you know, Phil Jackson's triangle, or you know, you have a West Coast running gun style. You gotta have talent in order to fulfill the goals for the team. Like, you know, Jeremy Lin was the starting point guard beforehand while Kenny Atkinson was there. And a lot of things just didn't go right, man, as far as Brooklyn was concerned. We had a lot of misfortune, you know, even from its inaugural season. Prokhorov, the owner, he tried to, you know, go for the home run so early when he traded for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And then matched them with Darren Williams and Joe Johnson.
Billy King.
Yeah, you know.
He got a whole room named after him.
Yeah. I mean, hey, well, we got Sean Marks now as the GM, and he's doing an excellent job as far as, you know, the acquisitions he's made. And you gotta give Kenny Atkinson credit on motivating these guys to, you know, overachieve, man. I'm sure a lot of people didn't have Brooklyn, you know, being in this playoff hunt when the season started, but Caris LeVert was coming into his own. D'Angelo Russell still had a chip on his shoulder, man. He was shipped off from LA, and he was the number two overall pick, you know? So he probably saw an opportunity in order to take this franchise in his hands, and he's embraced it. You know, averaging 20 points, averaging 20-6, I believe, this year as a point guard, as a starting point guard, and he's still only, like, what, 22, 23 years old, man? He has his whole career ahead.
23.
Yeah, 23. So he has his whole career ahead of him. And, you know, being an all-star, that definitely gives you confidence. And he really started to take it to another level when Caris LeVert got hurt. As I said earlier, you know, Caris LeVert was playing some of his best basketball, and he went down. So I know D'Angelo took it upon himself to, like, really put the franchise on his back and carry them to some wins, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been at multiple Brooklyn Nets games and the Barclays already, and they just all look like they just having so much fun playing. Man, they play hard, they play gritty. There's not been one game in which I haven't seen them and they weren't competitive, you know what I'm saying? Before, Brooklyn used to be the laughing stock as far as, like, you know, oh, they messed up their picks from before. You know, it's the Brooklyn Nets, what are they doing? But Brooklyn is here right now, man. And like I said, that game against Sacramento with him, I mean, D'Angelo had his career high, man, 44 points. And, you know, that team just came together when it was time to. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, he's the one that hit the game-winning bucket. You know, he's a good, you know, all-around man. His jump shot could get a little better, but he's definitely a good defender. He's kind of like one of the glue guys. You know, I mentioned Joe Harris already. I mentioned Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Alan Crabb, Jared Dudley. You know, they just have the perfect mixture of veterans and young core talent in order to do some major things, man, and make themselves attractive for the summer. So watch out for us landing one of those big fish. We might not get all of them, but we definitely gonna get something, man.
I agree. But unfortunately for you, I say the best basketball player in New York.
Okay.
Mitchell Robinson.
Okay.
It's got it. First of all, let me just read you some stats real quick.
Alright, let me know what's up.
He just broke Patrick Ewing rookie record. 29 straight games with a block.
Okay.
He just got 19 straight games with two blocks. Shattered Knicks rookie record. I think that's the NBA record. No, the NBA record is 24 by game. No, by David. Excuse me. And he just broke yesterday while we got stomped by the Utah Jazz. I don't even want to talk about the game. That's why. It was 74-47 at the half. But anyway.
Wow.
He just broke Kristaps Porzingis' rookie record for total blocks. He has 135 blocks right now.
The kid
is shooting 79% from the field since February. He's 20 years old, 2 years removed from high school, did not play college basketball. Mid-30s. I'll give you this. If the Lakers had Mitchell Robinson right now, they'd be in the playoffs.
Oh, man. Why are you going to mention Mitchell Robinson? Hey, come on. All those stats are excellent as far as defensively, but don't mention, we all know the biggest reason why the Lakers aren't in the playoffs is because of LeBron James. He's done good as far as putting up the stats he's done, but the bad as well. He's missed 18 games, man, and he's probably ostracized his teammates.
Honestly, I kind of agree. I'll give you this. If you had a shared blame pile, I think LeBron gets 15%. 85% goes to Magic. Let me tell you, you the owner. When you did this past offseason, you just signed a bunch of free agents. You didn't sign no shooters. You don't see anything on the roster. And then, you know, Kyle Kuzma, you know, he's first in the league in wide open three-point misses. When you play with LeBron, that jersey gets heavy.
You said it. I mean, Kobe already said it earlier. You know, I think he said it yesterday. I mean, LeBron needs this type of season, and that's what, because that's what makes the championships worth it. People forget.
Pay for AD. He said that.
I mean, hey, man, look, Kobe. Kobe's a what, 5-time NBA champion. You know, two-time Finals MVP. He's seen it all. NBA legend, Laker legend. You know, so. LeBron, he just came to LA. He just came. They had him for 4 years. Obviously, this first year is kind of a dud. You know, he kind of tried to, you know, trade half of his team in order to try to acquire some, you know, Anthony Davis and bring some talent there. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. Clearly, LeBron is losing some.
Hold on, my fault. You mentioned Anthony Davis. I'm in both New York bar. Far away from Anthony Davis.
What?
Far away.
Nah, man. Anthony Davis is too good. You telling me if Anthony Davis was available to the New York Knicks, y'all want to take him? Anthony Davis is one of the top three players in the league.
You know what that means?
What?
The Melo saga. I'm not trying to give you, let's say, if we get Zion Williamson. I'm not trying to give you Zion, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, and Alonzo Trier. I'm not doing that. Because you know why? Remember the 2008 Celtics?
Okay.
The championships they won. They won one.
True. But they won it. They still won it. And the first year that they were put together, they won it. They won the whole thing. It works.
You know, us New Yorkers, you got a young core. The Knicks got a young core. The Nets got a young core. We not used to having young cores. you go on Brooklyn Nets Twitter right now, people will go fuming if you try to say, oh, trade Jared Allen. What? Not us, sir.
I don't know, man. If we love Jared Allen, man, he's done some great things. But if you're telling me that all we had to do was trade Jared Allen to acquire Anthony Davis, bro, see you later.
You gotta give up the phone.
I'm just letting you know what it is, man. If Anthony Davis, so Anthony Davis is not just a regular player, you feel what I'm saying? That's a guy that can do almost anything on the floor, and he's only 25 years old, bro. You talk about having a young core, that is a straight up superstar that we'd be acquiring right there. As long as we don't give up D'Angelo Russell, man, I'm for Anthony Davis, come through, come to Brooklyn, come see what we about. I'm serious. Anthony Davis, please. But, you know, we're just going to have to see the upcoming free agency. I know Brooklyn is going to be, you know, in the mix with our young core that's actually competitive, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. We're making ourselves more and more appealing each day. D'Angelo is just going to get better. Caris LeVert is just going to get back to form. Spencer Dinwiddie, we got, you know, guys coming right off the bench scoring points for us. Ed Davis, if we can keep him around, you know, great rebounder. And the grit and grind that we put in all our games to stay competitive, man. We're set up for something big this summer, bro. I'm telling you. The Knicks over there, y'all doing okay. But the Nets over here, Brooklyn is here, and we here to stay, man.
All right, man. I hear you, man. Knicks, we on our way.
Nah.
Robinson, Trier, Dotson, got a young core, DeAndre Jordan, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Nicolina. You got a couple guys we going to see.
Yeah.
When we going to do the next one? When should we do the next one? Next week, good day.
I mean, any day, you know, we'll conjure up, you know, all fan. We'll see. We'll set it up. But we'll definitely set up next week, probably in the middle of the week, if not later on at the end. Later on at the end of the week as well, too. Right now, the Knicks currently don't have anything to play for. You know, they're probably trying to lose some more games just to solidify their spot, you know, their top three spot. But as for Brooklyn, every game that we're playing right now, it's definitely a fight for the playoffs. You know, I'm just saying it out there. I'm personally going to be at the game on April 10th, which is the last home game of the Nets regular season. It's actually going to be against the Miami Heat. And if the Heat
it's crazy. My friend was talking about going to that game because he wanted to see
it. Yeah, man. It could be Dwayne Wade. Shout out to Dwayne Wade, and another NBA legend, three-time NBA champion. Third best shooting guard of all time, if you ask me, behind Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Also one of my favorite players. It could be, if they don't make the playoffs, the Miami Heat, that would be Dwayne Wade's last game ever in the NBA. That's April 10th. And I'm going to be there, you know, with the homies repping Brooklyn, trying to solidify a spot in the playoffs. But, like, the Heat are actually making their own playoff push. I believe that they're eighth in the East right now, too. And that should be a very highly competitive game with all the circumstances that are on the line. So, April 10th, we might have to report, like, right after. We might have to set up, you know, an episode right after that game because... hopefully Brooklyn is in the playoffs, and you know, if the Heat are not, it would definitely be an honor just to watch D Wade, you know, play his final game in the NBA, and you know, give him a solid, you know, a hero's, you know, send off. Because if you like LeBron James, man, and LeBron is my favorite player, you gotta like D Wade.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? D-Wade was a very intricate part of LeBron being the player that he is right now. You feel me? So definitely got to be at that game and send off my man D-Wade if that happens to be his last game in the NBA.
Yes. So shout outs to everybody that been tuning in. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. We appreciate it.
Day to the New York teams podcast. Shout outs to everybody tuning in. We appreciate the love and support.
Absolutely. We're
definitely going to put this on Anchor tonight.
Mm-hmm.
To the people.
Yes.
Peace.
All right, man. Live from Bed-Stuy and the state of the New York Knicks fans. Peace. And we're going to see y'all later. Yep.
All right, yep.
Yo, yo.
Yo, what's up, people? Shout out to all the listeners once again for listening to episode 2, Who Will Land the Big Fish. We thank you once again for taking your time out just to listen to some banter regarding the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. Shout out to my man Sliz for combining podcast streams with one another and discussing the fate of the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, the Knicks don't have anything to play for this season. Actually, they're trying to lose as much as they can so they can get the best possible pick. But, you know, the Nets, on the other hand, you Brooklyn Nets fans, you already know we got a lot to play for. Tonight, Friday, March 22nd, we're playing the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, we are playing the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. And when the Nets do beat the Los Angeles Lakers, the Lakers will officially be out of playoff contention. Once again, we know that the Lakers, you know, they weren't going to make the playoffs from like maybe like a week or 2 weeks ago. But once again, after the Nets beat them, mathematically, the Lakers will be out of playoff contention. So shout out to my man LeBron James anyway. Anybody that knows me, they know that that's my favorite player of all time. One of the 5 best players of all time. And but he's just having one of those seasons, you know. It is what it is when you try to get half of your team traded for Anthony Davis. And then you try to come back and be like, nah, man, we're going to make the play. Nah, man. Playoff mode definitely was not activated. I know that's what he said, but LeBron, man, we got too much video of you kind of slacking off. So, but regardless of the fact, that's just this season. Next season, I'm sure it'll be a lot different, but as far as the Brooklyn Nets are concerned, I know that's going to be a win tonight because all-star D'Angelo Russell, he's going to have an extra chip on his shoulder and more ice on his veins because the Lakers were actually the team that traded their number 2 overall pick, D'Angelo Russell, to the Brooklyn Nets. So one franchise's trash, quote-unquote, ended up being another franchise's treasure. And he's going to be instrumental in the win tonight. And we're going to do our thing, and we're going to continue to make that playoff push. So until next time, this is your boy Wale, signing off, reporting live from Bed-Stuy as the voice of the Brooklyn Nets. Thank you, listeners, once again, and tune into the next episode, all right? Peace.